the mountain biker from Snowy River. There were ripples on the lattes, for the rumour had been spread that a cash prize had been offered for the ride that they did each Sunday morning. $1,000, it was said, and a row of fancy bikes was parked outside. All the tried and noted riders from the city in the east had gathered there for brunch at 10 a.m, for the locals like hard riding, if it's followed by a feast, and the Coogee slopes are made for such as them. There was Henderson, who made his name when racing Malvern Stars, the old man with his lycra faded white. Yet few could ride beside him when he took the handlebars. He could go wherever you could take a bike. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to try his luck. No finer rider e'er put foot on pedal. He still finished up the time trial on the day his brakes got stuck, and he crossed the finish line on smoking metal. And one was there, a stripling on a step-through lady's frame, a one-speed with a springy leather seat, with a brake that you back-pedalled when the time for stopping came, and rubber pedals underneath the feet. But the man looked tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die, as the fastest road race riders often are. And his bike was built to take whatever came down from on high in the wicker basket on the handlebar. But the frame was old and rusty. One would doubt its power to stay. And the old man said, "That bike will never do for a long and tiring road race. Lad, you'd better stop away. These hills are far too rough for such as you." So he waited, sad and wistful. Only Clancy stood his friend. "I think we ought to let him come," he said. "I warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the end, for both his bike and he are mountain bred. He hails from Snowy River up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a mountain bike would fall apart on every second ride, and the man that holds his own is good enough." So he went. But on the first ascent, the town boys formed a clump. They cranked away and shifted down to low, and the old man gave his orders. "Boys, go at them from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must catch them, and catch them early on. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills, for never yet was rider that could pass the peloton if they're in front when they come down the hills." So Clancy rode to catch them. He was bent over the bars and his feet flew round the cranks like bloody hell as he led the group of chasers, overtaking several cars with the jolly sound of tinkling from his bell. But fast the town boys pedalled up the Coogee Bay Road slope, where the eager watchers gathered on each side, and the old man muttered fiercely, "We haven't got a hope. No man can catch them down the other side." On the Carrington Road summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest whisper, "Jeez." The slope was 1 in 4, and the bitumen was full of potholes. You could slip and skin your knees. But the man from Snowy River let the one speed just freewheel, and he turned his head around and gave a cheer, and he passed some of the town boys as their brakes began to squeal, while the bystanders looked on in very fear. He sent the gravel flying, but the bicycle was sweet. The potholes hardly bounced his rapid glide, and the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain biker ride. Through the red lights and the stop signs and the parked cars all around, down the hillside at a tearing pace he went, and he never pedalled backwards till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of that terrible descent. He was right among the townies as they climbed Clovelly Hill, and the watchers back in Coogee, standing mute, saw his pedals turning madly. He was right among them still as he raced along up Brook Street in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment, where two Coogee gullies met up in Randwick, but a final glimpse reveals on a dim and distant hillside the town boys racing yet, with the man from Snowy River at their wheels. And as the shadows lengthened, he passed the thinning pack, just taking on one rider at a time, till he pedalled down the bay road with the sunset at his back, and with daylight second, crossed the finish line. But his trusty lady's step-through looked a bit the worse for wear, with a sagging saddle and a twisted chain, crooked rims and ruptured tyres and bearings glowing hot. It looked as though she'd never ride again. So, among the cappuccinos in the cafe by the bay, where the men in Lycra tell their stories tall, the man from Snowy River is a household word today. And that's his bike there, hanging on the wall. By Joe Wolfe, with apologies to Banjo Patterson and his Man from Snowy River.